Monday, August 9, 2021, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m., Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3:30 p.m.
We have a VOE meeting today, too. Okay.
I have no idea.
Indeed, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. Okay, thanks for taking care of that James Osterber death certificate.
My wife doesn't know, but all my boys have got clips.
Somebody's not being honest there.
Good luck.
What do you mean?
The doctor told me that he was on top of it.
Oh.
So.
The
hospice
worker. Okay, hospice worker wasn't.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Are we ready? I'll call the meeting to order, and we'll start with our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Roll call, please.
Janet Hill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Feasey.
Here.
Larry Albanicious. Troy Lonsby.
Here.
All right. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. At this point, item number one on our agenda is public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments about any item that's not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion to limit the time of comment. Do we have anybody here for public comment on non-agenda items?
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Come forward, please.
My name is Jean Broyhill, and I live here in Dakota City. Okay. And I was just checking to see.
You want to come forward to the, because we can catch your, there's a microphone, so we can get it on our recording a little better, Jean.
Thanks. I had a question on the process for any people or persons that might be coming into the community that are not necessarily part of the community. Is the area notified? I guess it's more dealing with undocumented people that would be coming into the area. And I've talked to different local area officials, and I tried to talk to some of the people at the state level, and they're going to try to get back to me that, you know, if people would come in, as we hear on the news, and my daughter lives in Austin, and so sometimes you hear about people coming in because there isn't enough area for people coming into the border areas, that supposedly they're coming into other areas of the country. And I had seen some signs around people asking for hotel money and such, so that made me think that if we were seeing that, are we notified that they would be coming?
Like refugees, are you talking about? People with refugee
like
status?
Refugee status, that type of thing.
I'm
is there a
not
process,
aware that we are.
Or would they be, how would that happen?
I'm not sure. I don't think we get official notification here at the county level, but I would think like the Newcomers Center and those entities would be aware.
I contacted the Law Enforcement Center, and they didn't seem to know anything about it, and I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd ever track
until
it.
Until they
know.
Break the law, I don't
right.
know.
Yeah.
No, well, I just meant if literally they not... If like they literally had a group of people, so it wouldn't
seeking assistance, like a refugee
yes,
group.
Yes, that they would be.
I would think that would be something that would be, you know, there would be organizations like, is it the Newcomers Center and.
So they would be contacted.
Contacted to find
legal,
suitable.
Would they go through the what's the place by Tyson?
DHHS.
Oh, that's a possibility, too.
You know,
and that would be federal.
Well, I don't know, but...
Department of Health and Human Services.
Some assistance or something like that?
Okay.
VHHS.
I didn't know how that would happen.
Somebody notify VHS of something.
I don't think they're even in that building anymore. I think they're up there by the credit union.
They are. So anyway, that's just...
Well, and see, that's where it just, when I saw some of the signs, I thought, well, I would just ask how that process worked, if people were notified or financially.
Not here anyway, but I mean, I think maybe some churches sometimes I know sponsor, but I don't know if that goes through some public entity or if that's, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jean. Again, great question. I'm not aware.
I did call.
You did?
Okay.
Yes, and I've got an email in to two different entities at the state and federal, so Congress...
Well, when you find out, maybe let us know, because that would be good to know. If you're finding from federal...
It would just be interesting as things adjust or blow or...
Absolutely.
All right, thanks.
Well, thanks for your concern, Jean. Appreciate your thoughts. Okay, any other public comment today? If not, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Our consent agenda today consists of approval of previous meeting minutes, payroll claims, which I just reviewed. There's a few, just some addition errors, and Letty's rechecking some of those right now as we speak. Accounts payable, there was one. This isn't typically the accounts payable period. We only do that once a month, which is the next meeting. But there was one accounts payable item for related to a grant from the Sheriff's Department that was approved, or that was appeared to be in order. An approval of a chair to sign the annual certification form regarding the allocation and expenditure of highway, street, and bridge buyback programs. And I think that is in our packets, I believe. So you have, or do they have it, or does I have it? Everyone, okay, you should see that that certification regarding our funding and highway and bridge program. And then approval of the Veterans Service Officer quarterly report for the period April to June, and you should have that as well. Basically, the number of people that he worked with, served, for benefits and other needs that they may have had. That's in your packet as well. So everything appeared to be in order. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
I'll second it with D, with the approval for the chair to sign that annual form for the highway, street, and bridge buyback programs.
Any questions or comments on the items in the consent agenda? Any of the reports or certifications? No, we'll take a roll on the consent agenda items.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Okay, we will move on to item number 3, which is new business and resolutions. And the first item, A, resolution 21C-029 for the road abandonment or vacation and disposition of the right-of-way regarding the portion of Lynch Avenue near Jackson, Nebraska. This was the one we had a public hearing on, I believe, at the last meeting, and had no...
So moved for resolution 21C-029.
I second.
Okay, so Scott, and who was second?
I did.
Okay.
Bob did too.
Okay. So it got seconded in thirds. Scott and Bob and Larry. Scott, Bob, and Larry, okay? Any questions or thoughts on that resolution before we take a vote roll? Let's do a roll on that one.
Is that effective when you sign it today?
It says moved and seconded motion to adopt the resolution. So I guess it's the date of today, 9th of August. Yeah. Dated the 9th of August.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take
Robert?
A roll.
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'd assume tomorrow they'll probably go out there and close it down. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Number B on the resolutions, resolution 21C-030 regarding assessing the landowner tenant for road damage from pivot irrigation. There is a resolution in the packet. There's also a copy of a letter that was sent to recipients. Do we need Jolene? Jolene, why don't you come and talk to us a little bit about this? This is the first time I've seen something like this. Can you give us an update on, is this an annual thing that happens, or?
I've never seen this, something like this before.
Yeah, I can't recall either.
We had issues with farmers watering our roads, and we talked to them. They fix it. A couple weeks later, it's doing it again, or even the next year. So it's been kind of repetitive. We had a call about a month ago about somebody almost in an accident because it hit their windshield at night, and then the road was soft because it was wet, and they were pretty upset. So we contacted the landowner. They took care of it. 2 weeks later, we had an issue again. So I asked the guys, the operators, what their thoughts on it, and they're, quite frankly, a little disgusted because they keep having to talk to the farmers. So the NIRMA handbook has this resolution in there. So I thought it would be a good idea to adopt it. I've talked to Chris about it, Sheriff Kleinberg, and he thought sending out the letter would be a good step, and then followed up with this resolution. So
Then anybody with irrigation is given the letter? So not just
anybody we've had complaints with. Okay. Or, you know, either a complaint with or our operators have turned in.
Okay.
So I've sent a group of letters out, and I got a couple more to send out again tomorrow. As they see them, they're telling me. So.
Is there many in the past?
You have a list in your packet.
There's probably been like, it's the same offenders year after year. Okay. So.
I can attest to that too, because I drove down a mile long minimum maintenance road and got right to the end of it. I couldn't. I wouldn't go through it because it's so muddy.
Yeah.
I just turned around and went back the other way. And it don't have to be that way. That gun can get adjusted properly as long as it's working. I mean, we got guns up there right on Highway 20 that shut off and as they make the corner.
Right. Yeah.
They don't ever. It's not an issue. But then there's others that are.
The operators will be out grading, and then they got to stop, go through it because they can't create a muddy road or pull up the ditches. That's where some of our issue comes to.
And that's just a road could stand more holding up. You know, they've in the last year they've really done a good job getting it elevated. But it could come some more as long as it's dry like this. It'll happen quickly. If we get a sprinkle, we just can't have it.
Right.
So it's not something that's unreasonable. I don't.
It's not intended to make the farmers mad. It's to protect the residents driving and the county and the farmers from a lawsuit. If we know it's happening, we don't do something about it, then that opens us up for liability.
So are the operators kind of documenting it some way, taking a photo or
I told them to start taking pictures.
So we know.
And since then, I kind of got a picture the other day after we sent out. So.
Okay.
And I'll keep reminding them. So I only got one farmer to call in. Some of the problem is a lot of these landowners rent their ground out and they have no idea.
Right.
So.
Right.
It's just kind of maybe a little reminder to keep on top of it because there will be an issue. So.
Or they might have a malfunctioning, but I did notice it had something about a malfunctioning.
Right. Yeah.
So it does cover, but at least then they'll know to get it repaired.
And I think they allow that twice a year.
Again, it doesn't turn off or something. This elicited another. I got another phone call from somebody. They were thinking about watering their road to reduce the dust, and then they got this letter. I guess I don't even know what the policy is on watering your road to reduce dust. Is there a policy? Does that relate to this?
No. The only time I've ever seen anybody water the road was on like the edge of town, you know, where people are coming in, and so
unrelated.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, totally
unrelated. Okay. All right. Any other questions for Jolene or thoughts from the commissioners on this resolution? Okay.
I'll approve resolution 21C-3030.
Okay, Scott made a motion to approve the resolution on pivot irrigation. I can second that. Any other discussion or questions? Okay, we'll do a roll on that one.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
All right, so that one will... These letters have gone out already, but then this will be an official resolution that will... Okay. All right, we are on... No, we aren't doing number C today, are we? No.
I got ahead on that one.
Okay.
We're going to wait for the 1 and 6 hearing. And do that on September 20th.
Is there... I don't think there's anybody here that wants to talk on any of these items down here, are there? Do we do road?
You could do Randy.
Randy, where's that?
Sarah, is Sarah not here?
I don't see Sarah. Want to do the highway report? Should do that, or no, or save that one, we'll save that one. Sarah's not here? Nope.
It might be on it, there's an accident on 77, the entrance to Camp Fairgrounds, so.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know Sheriff Feinberg is up there, I don't think it'd be.
Okay.
Anybody that would be part of it or.
Okay, thank you for the update, that's, hopefully it's nothing serious. Fair ended, all kinds of stuff. I think at this point then we are going down to item number D, which is a closed session to discuss union contract negotiations for the Sheriff Department, Lodge 49, Correctional Officer, Lodge 49, and the Road Local 251.
I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
Okay.
I'll second.
Scott, motion, seconded by Bob, to go into closed session on union contract negotiations.
Do you want us in here or not?
No, I don't.
Jackie Jacks for a shot.
I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
I'll second that.
No, I think everybody can.
Do we need to do a call and roll or just do it?
Scott made a motion and
Janet.
Janet.
Out of closed session.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Item number E on the agenda is Resolution 21-C-032 to take action on the Sheriff Union contract.
Okay. So this resolution is just to finalize our final offer, is what the resolution is for.
Just as simple as that.
Just as simple as that.
I'll second.
Made a motion?
I did.
Did Troy make? Oh. Troy, Bob. Any discussion? Should we do roll call on that?
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, Resolution 21-C-033 to take action on the jail union contract.
And that's the same thing, just to take action for our final offer.
Is that a motion, Troy?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Bob, second. Any discussion on Resolution 21-C-033?
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Okay. Resolution 21-C-034 to take action on the road union contract.
I'll make the motion to approve.
I'll second that. Any discussion on Resolution 21-C-034?
Is this the same as those other two, or is this approval of the...
They're all resolutions related to the contracts, yes.
But is it approval of the final offer?
That's not specific in this one, huh?
Okay. Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right, so items E, F, and G have been acted on and approved. At this point, we will go, any other comments on new business and resolutions? We'll go on to miscellaneous and old business. Jolene Goobles, Highway Superintendent, the biweekly road report. And I think you have that, it was, yes, we do have that.
Okay, the guys had 214 hours of grading, 4 hours of overtime, 19 hours of tree removal, 99 hours on Blyberg Road, 7.5 hours on Fiddler Creek, 60 hours on L Avenue, 12.5 on Old Highway 20 Kerr, 68 hours on 240th Street Culverts, garbage pickup 3 hours, gravel hauling 64 hours, and they hauled 983.73 tons of gravel and 21.5 hours of repairing signs.
What was the 12.5 hours on Old Highway 20 Kerr? What was that?
You know that right there by Martin Airfield?
Yep, yep.
They come in and take that
yep,
corner.
Okay, yeah, they kind of they bladed that off or. Okay. Yeah. Did they put some hard stuff back in there? What did they put in there?
I think so. I think they put some.
Millions. Was it? I guess I've seen that they were doing the work out there, but I guess I didn't pay that close attention.
I think they put some of that South Dakota gravel in, where they kind of hard pack it in and kind of firms up pretty good.
Jolene, has anything been discussed about doing that, elevating the road out there by the river that we had on the list?
I know they did.
That's 7/10 of a mile there.
North.
Right out by the river.
Or by the river. I don't know. I know they just did some stuff right outside of Jackson.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
And I did give the list to a couple of guys, so I'm sure they're. I don't know where it's on their list of things to do.
That really needs to get done this year.
I did pass it on.
Those people down here every spring the last 3 years. We really need to do it, you know, early enough before we get into snowfall.
What road is that, Larry?
It's on the list. I forget what it was. I think from L to.
When you get to the schoolhouse and you go.
You go on Vidado, where Vidado lives there, or not Vidado.
Smith?
No. Torco.
Leo Tortoise
Hill? Leo lives there. It's on that.
Not away.
Not away. Seville?
It was something before that. Then it turned into Not Away.
Civil's out there.
Civil's.
I'll look at the list.
Yeah.
It's right there. If you make the corner real, that corner needs to get fixed while there's a stretch in. It's on the list of distance.
Okay.
I guess it was. But it really needs to get done. So that'll be back again next May. Because they got a legitimate complaint. The road just way too low. And it'd be good to get it down now because it's low enough where the snow is drifting on it worse than what it should if we elevate it up.
Okay, I will let them know.
Yeah.
On the back of here, are the G's or graders? What are the D's? All right. I was just trying to remember what the fleet means.
The D's are trucks.
Like the gravel trucks.
Oh. Okay.
And the names are the graders.
Right.
Oh, the names are the graders. I thought the G's were the graders.
And the G's are the pickups.
Oh.
G for gas, D for diesel. I think that's how they did that back then.
All right.
It was all done before I started. So.
And the names are the graders. Okay, got it. Okay. That's good to know. I didn't really realize that. I'm reading that wrong then.
Diesel. G for gas. Get that.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. D for diesel.
Okay, thank you, Jolene.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item is item number B, Wayne Rock, and from Nielsen and Rock. Are they here? Nope.
Okay, well, I talked to Wayne this morning.
Okay.
He was supposed to have the project done at the end of July, and he is going back and forth between the Jackson High Bridge and the Kenny Burcham Bridge. The Jackson High Bridge doesn't have an end date on it, but since that road is closed, he's been working on that while he can. As a result, that's kind of delaying his project on the Kenny Burcham Bridge. He was broke down over in Jackson. He's just having a heck of a time over by Jackson. He had to get the water jetty brought in, and then that broke down. So he's supposed to get the part in today, and he's thinking, I don't know, several more days, maybe this week, part of next week, to get done at Jackson. Then he'll go back over to the Kenny Burcham Bridge. The Kenny Burcham Bridge has liquidated damages assessed to it, $540 a day for not getting done by July 31st, whatever.
So they're under liquidated damages right now on that one.
And he's asking for forgiveness on that, since he is trying to get the Jackson Road open because that is closed, and the Kenny Burcham Bridge has just a shoe fly going around it, so there is access to that. And he said, like everyone else, he's having a hard time keeping help and having people to work. So he requested an extension on those projects. So.
What kind of an extension?
The penalty started August 1.
Right. So he's asking for some forgiveness on that. He's just kind of been having a heck of a time, you know, with all his problems with the Jackson Bridge. So, and he could have completely concentrated. He could have just went to the Burcham Bridge and started that first. But since we had a FEMA project and that had a deadline, August 1st, he's trying to do both.
I understand.
And he was trying to meet the FEMA deadline, but then we had to go in and get an extension from FEMA. So then he went over to the High Bridge, or the Kenny Burcham Bridge. I know, it's confusing. He's been bouncing back in between two bridges. He's just trying to make things work, so.
And theoretically, he could have spent all of his time at the Kenny Bridge.
Yeah.
And because the other one didn't have a deadline, so now the deadline's on his other one. He's not done, and he's being penalized $500-some dollars
right.
a day.
Well, he was trying to work on the Jackson High Bridge. Was the FEMA one that had a August 1st deadline also. They both had the same deadline.
Okay, yeah.
But since the Kenny Burcham Bridge had that shoe fly around it, he was trying to concentrate on the High Bridge, meet that FEMA deadline, and get that road back open. But that hasn't happened.
So basically, neither have been completed by the deadline of August 1st.
Correct.
Is where we're
and
at.
And we did get the FEMA extension on that, but he's just been kind of running back and forth between the two as much as he can.
Does he have a date of completion for either one?
He was thinking he needed about 10 more working days on the Kenny Burcham Bridge, but since the part came in or was supposed to come in today for the Jackson High Bridge, he wanted to get back over there and start on that again because he's renting that equipment, that water jetty equipment. So he, of course, would like to get that done and taken care of and get that road open back up.
I don't know what everybody's thoughts are on it, but I can't see penalizing the guy, you know, I mean, something like that. And if he needs an extension to get it done, and, you know, that's my thought.
Have we used him in the past?
No, this is the first time we've ever used him.
And he came highly recommended.
And he was significantly lower than everybody else, too.
One of us looking for any more bridges to build.
I bet you he's got
right
now.
I don't know if he'll want to do it in Dakota County.
The ones he's got.
So anyways, you know, I don't know what we need to do here, but he's, I see that he submitted a written request.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's already passed the date on both of them. I wonder if we should give a reasonable.
Well, I think.
Because I know they've had a hard time getting parts.
Before, I can't remember what the date of the letter is. I think he sent it right about the time where.
Oh, there's a letter. Okay.
He needed the extension.
Yeah, we just.
The way it is right now is kind of open-ended. It could be January.
That's what he said. It says with approximately 3 weeks to complete.
Yeah, I would, there should be a date, yeah.
Where are we starting?
Well, I think we already have one set at August 1st.
Month from now, month after that.
Would he be, you think he'd be pleased with September 1st?
I would hope so. What is today?
If he's telling you 10 days of business days, I mean, that's giving him a little, you know, there's...
I would feel more comfortable, say, September 15th with the trouble he's having. You know, he said the, doing, putting the pilings in with the water jetty is working, but it is a very slow process, so...
Oh, that's, yeah, that's where he ran into, he had to get that extra equipment, didn't he?
See, the problem is there on that bridge, the problem, we don't have a problem on Kenny Burchard Bridge.
Right.
But Kenny Burchard Bridge suffered because of the problem on the High Bridge.
Right, and he's trying to get the...
September 15th, as she said.
Jackson High Bridge open, because that road is closed, and they do have access, but...
I just wish you'd have said how long.
Well, he kind of, if, on that, on this letter right here, he's kind of...
2 weeks, or 5, 10 days.
He's kind of telling you that it's, you know, the project's 70% complete, but 10 working days to complete.
But he might not be back for 20.
But not good for 3 weeks.
I think it's a good idea to set a date of some sort, though, you know, just to...
Well, do the 15th September then, I don't, it matters to me, I guess.
I think by looking at this here, I think it needs to be October 1st. I mean, seriously, by looking at this letter.
The guy's having a hard time, you know, he's, like I said, he's just been bouncing back and forth.
I mean, it seems like a long time, it's like 2 months away, and 2 months goes by quick, you know.
Really quick, yeah, and it's still, the weather will still be nice by then, so.
Yeah.
Does he have, is there a bus route on this, on any of these, or not?
What's that?
Is there any bus routes on either of these?
I do not have an updated bus route for this coming school year.
You know, it might be intended, would you say the end of October?
No, October 1st.
Oh, October 1st, yeah.
So that gives him like 7 weeks from now.
Next, get a month to get the shoe fly out, or the other contractor to get there, get the shoe fly out of there and reshape the creek.
I think he would be pleased with that for October 1st, I would think.
Okay, I'll let him know.
I think so, as long as everybody's on...
Do we do it anything, or official, or just submit a written request for an extension? This is the written request right here, right, okay. So we, a motion to extend the completion date to October 1st, is that what we feel comfortable with? Of both bridges, of both, right, both bridges?
Both bridges, right.
FEMA gave a completion date for February 21st, I think, for the Jackson High Bridge. They gave a 6-month extension on that one. But that's generally what they do about 6 months at a time, so.
Yeah, but we don't think we want to go that long, because you don't want to be doing bridges in the winter, do we?
Well, I can.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no. Hopefully this guy will be doing that.
Let's just do October 1st.
For the Waterbury stuff.
Are you making a motion, Janet?
Okay, I'll make a motion to extend, you said he needs 3 weeks?
May October 1st.
3 weeks to complete the Jackson High.
Oh, and then to go back to Waterbury South, okay. Waterbury South would be the 1st of October. So he'll be done with Jackson early September, and then he can finish Waterbury South by October 1st. Does that sound reasonable?
Reasonable.
Okay, a motion to, yeah.
He might have time to slip in that Willis Bridge.
Okay, you want to second that?
Yeah.
For October 1st?
Yes.
Oh, Troy did, okay, thank you, Troy.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
No.
Okay. So do we need to do anything regarding a notification?
Brian McDonald, the JEO, he's an engineer involved in it, and I'll contact him.
Let him, okay. October 1st. All right, number C, let's see, C on our miscellaneous and old business. Approve the hiring applicant for the position of road department foreman.
No.
Okay, C for approval of the contract.
Oh, yeah. This is, oh, I thought that was the same one. Approval of contractor's application for payment number one for project Waterbury South, which is the Burchard Bridge, which is the one we just discussed. Is the payment in here? Yeah, here it is, contractor's application for payment. Okay. We pay half, and Dixon County pays half of this, correct?
Yes.
Yep, okay. Is it because of the amount that we're running it through?
No.
No?
No, this is normal.
Okay.
This is a payment, a request for payment, it's contractor's application for payment number one.
Okay.
It asks you to sign it.
Okay. So there's nothing unusual about this?
No.
It's just a normal payment?
No.
Nothing to do with the last discussion? Okay, that's where I was getting confused.
Do you need a motion on that?
Okay.
Okay, I'll make a motion for the approval for the contractor's application for payment number uno.
Payment number one. Bertram Bridge. Okay, Scott, Troy. Any discussion on that, making that initial payment, or half that initial payment, I guess? Okay, we'll go ahead and take a roll on that.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, now we are down to item number D. Approve applicant for the position of road department foreman. Okay.
Is that it there? Is that all we got? So the journal and everything, and we did a little extension, nothing else came up?
No.
Came abroad? So what's everyone's thoughts on this?
It had a nice interview. I mean, I feel like we've been getting some good communication, which is a key part of it.
Yeah, he's done really good calling me, keeping track of everything.
I know I've dealt with him a couple different times on some things, like Ohio Avenue out there, and they pulled everything up. But I've never had an issue with Brent, ever, you know, but that's me. I think he seems very conscientious about his job.
I think it'd be good to move forward and get the position filled and keep moving ahead, get some projects done.
Yeah, we definitely need a foreman.
I think we got one.
You do?
Yeah, he's acting foreman. Mm-hmm.
Well, but make it official.
Make it official.
Well, why does it got to be official? So then someone else comes along that is truly qualified. You pass them by because we already have one, you never advertised for it.
Oh, we posted it twice, though.
Well, I understand that.
Posted it twice.
A qualified individual, you're not going to, first off, you're not going to hire them for $45,000 a year. Somebody that's truly qualified. Well, Bill Rogers, and you know what bridges need and so forth. It's not, you know, $50,000 job a year. Just one of them things. Well, I don't know what the rush is. I still never figured out why everybody's in such a hurry.
Well, it's been
60 days.
So it's 60 days. Say it's 12 months. Who cares? It's functioning better today than it did.
I think that's a good reason to move forward then.
I think the guys are all...
But how long will that last is the question. We've been doing it this way for 20 years. So do you think they're going to start at 7 o'clock in the morning when you ask them to, and they say, well, no, we've been doing that 20 years, whether it's dark or not. And then I have one employee say, well, this is that 20 minutes day. He says, well, I'm going to wait for it to get a little lighter, and I'm going to go do something. What kind of a...
But I really think this is where we, as a board, and you and Troy, as mm-hmm. the road committee, you got your hands full. Mm-hmm. And that, so it's no different than, you know, health department, budget, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just you gotta, you know, if you want it to go in a certain direction, you know more about roads than anybody.
I don't have any authority to do anything.
How do you not?
Did the road foreman call me? No, he calls Troy because he knows Troy's his pal. Right, Troy?
I don't think anybody's pals with anybody.
I don't think so. You have his number, and I think that, you know, there's no problem. You can call him and tell him what you want done and sit down and have that talk.
I want people to get to work at start times at 6 o'clock and 1 mile of the shop at 10 after.
But go out there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Or if quit times at 4:30, come in at 4:20, not 3 in the afternoon, daily.
I think the time clocks will help that, I think. Larry.
The what?
We're going to implement some time clocks. Maybe then we'll have a little better feel for that.
That's the only answer.
And this report right here.
You should have cameras to see them guys over the Hubbard shop making all that noise and stuff in the wintertime when they're doing nothing. That's why, if you want to know the truth, I think the entire road department screwed up. Is what they should be drawing is about $30 an hour, and they should be going home in the winter when there ain't something to do, or on a rain day, they should be going home. That's the way I see it. You know, we got contractors out there paying from $20 to $30 an hour just for, you know, not even supervisors. See, but they only work 6 to 8 months, 8 months or not 10 months out of the year.
And then they're laid off in the winter, so that the difference
right,
so is the road department.
Stay home, babysit. Right. Like we have one employee that has to pick his children up at 3:00, but it's quitting time to 3:30. So
I think we need
that
to
figure out. But it gets paid for it.
Yeah. Right. I think the way we operate right now, I don't think we can really do that. What a Department of Transportation would do, where they have temporary layoffs in the wintertime, because we need them in the wintertime to be.
True. So
doing
they can call
snow.
Them in. They can't
right.
babysit that day, so you call them in and say, "If snow, I got to get to move the snow."
Well, I'll make a motion to approve hiring Brent Byrode as the foreman, in light of the fact that things have been going pretty well and we don't have another applicant.
I'll second.
Got some good experience.
We need to move on, and if somebody comes down the road, I guess. Yeah, you got to have somebody in that position.
Yeah, we need a leader.
So the guys know who.
Well, they know it now. I mean, they really do.
I know.
He's an at-will employee, too. I mean, it's a different classification of employee. Those are the expectations can be a little bit more directed by the board. So that's a positive for us.
Well, he is. He's been the acting
right.
board foreman
mm-hmm.
for 20, 15
yeah.
years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a motion.
What's
did somebody second it?
I second it.
Okay.
What's his name again?
Brent Byrode.
Last name, how do you spell it?
B-Y-R-O-A-D.
Okay, I got a motion and a second. Any other questions or thoughts?
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
No.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. So that's our item D. And he's been the acting foreman, so we'll have to figure out probably some paperwork. Not sure how that works, Joan.
Okay.
All right. Item E, I think Sheriff, it sounded like Sheriff is out on a road call. So we don't, did we have a Sheriff's report?
Yeah, that would have one.
We did?
Yep, we have
okay.
One.
Oh, there it is. We do have a jail report.
You want me to do it, or are you good? You just want to just look it over and say, okay.
Yeah,
that looks good.
Same with last.
Oh,
Randy? You want to do the jail report?
Report?
You want me to do it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Okay, the jail report, August 9th, 2021. County inmates, 92. Federal inmates, 20. Juveniles, 0.06. Total in-house is 112. If you recall, the last time we went through there on our jail report, or our jail tour,
mm-hmm.
it was full. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know the max is, 140 something, but at 112 is very high. 2021 calendar, average inmates per day, county was 78, federal inmates 22, juveniles 0.11, so total in-house was 100. Okay, for the year, average inmates per day is the county is 92, federal inmates are 20, the juveniles 0.06, the total in-house is 112. The money's federal income 2021-2022. July the marshal was 42,152.40. The July ICE was zero. The July, is that the Omaha? The OMMS?
Marshal
Service was zero. So the total federal for July was 42,152.40. Okay, so. Basically, the 2021 calendar federal was so far is $317,143.24. May phone commissary, it looks like it's $11,781.38. So the cost per mate per day of 2021. It looked like the month of July was $72.44. which you can see that's just a fraction up, well, quite a bit up, from January, February, March was 56, 93, April 64, 46, May 63, 34, June 63, 32, and July 72. Obviously, there's more people, right?
Three payrolls also.
What's that?
Three payrolls also.
Yeah, three. Okay, was there? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, the jail spent $257,000 for the month of July. The jail is at 9% of the total estimated yearly budget, or 1% over budget for the fiscal year. The jail was at 9% of the total estimated yearly budget in July of 2020, and it spent $37,506 more than allotted for July, which was 14.5% over budget for the month. And you can see the bookings. I'm not going over the bookings.
So that was probably because of the three pay periods. Once again, the expenses were probably because of three pay periods.
Yep. You guys want to repeat that? You catch on.
No, there's one of the July ice, zero money.
We haven't had ice for a while.
So, but we was going to build a new bridge down, all the ice people wanted. Our new, new.
I think that was part
federal.
Of the federal.
Fiscal. The marshals are.
Marshals.
Yeah. So it's just because I think the new Biden administration isn't enforcing the ICE as much as probably part of it.
We used to get pretty good money.
Hmm?
We used to get pretty good money.
But we still have the federal money. It's just,
yeah, 317,000. Mm-hmm. Is that what you read?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so who's going to do the next?
All right, so let's see. The sheriff's office to present distress warrants. Are you, Randy, are you here for that? Distress warrants. It doesn't say for what period for these.
Randy, how you doing?
Yeah. There we go. Is there, there's a report in here for this one, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Last October 29th, we got 173 distress warrants from the assessor's office or the treasurer's office.
Uh-huh.
And basically, they quoted at that time $29,080.09. And each year when I'm done, I have to turn them back into them and tell what's going on. 164 were satisfied. We collected them by the sheriff's office. There was four of them that were paid to the treasurer's office shortly after the deadline there. And we got five to be stricken. The reason they were being stricken is four of them were empty lots. They have the wrong way, I guess. But, and the other one is actually the trailer that's not the same trailer that is on the lot. So I can't very well. The old one disappeared. That happens with the trailer courts. Sometimes I'm out there, and 2 weeks I go out, and there's one gone.
Hmm.
Are these all out?
Interesting.
No, they were two of them. There's one at Tantera. That's the one that's not the same trailer. There's three out at Siouxland Estates and one, I believe, out at Lake Village. I'm not positive on that because I don't have them broke down out there. But I know that Lake Village has been going through, the new owners have been trying to clean that up. They now own Tantera too, and they brought up the one where they don't know when. When they bought it, they'd have the new trailer on there, but the old trailer was gone.
You would think that somebody would see that happening.
Oh, well, they're not hard to move. I've been out there sometimes literally on the beginning of the week and go out at the end of the week and it's gone.
They're gone.
They, you know, we had one last year at Siouxland Estates that was been sitting empty for a couple of years, and they finally hired somebody to come in, and they did with a backhoe, and it went down, and by the end of the day it was an empty lot.
Mm-hmm.
All nice and smoothed over, and the metal hauled away and everything.
Like nothing ever happened.
You know, and it was worthless. You know, that we're kind of in a bind on some of the trailer courts because we work with them to try and get them much, and then when we have our auction, they come in and they usually buy it because they can get a clear title to it to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we haven't had anyone say, well, if you're in a levy hunt, seize it, get it off my property. Because I know we have a guy in the county that do it for about $3,500.
I was going to say it gets expensive.
Yeah. So, but they were all satisfied,
mm-hmm.
except for those five. So what I need mm-hmm. now, and if you have any questions as far as the total amount that was collected, was $30,739.63. So we were just a little bit above there. You take that amount minus the $401 we lost on the five that was striking.
Is this a pretty typical number? Is it higher than normal?
I've been doing these for about 20 years, and I've had as many as 500 or 600 distress warrants in 1 year, and now, we're averaging about 150 maybe.
Okay, I didn't know if with COVID if it made things go higher or lower. This is okay.
No, and a lot of these ones here we get, you see a lot of them in the $50 to $100 range. A lot of it is, for lack of a better term, the non-white, because they don't understand the tax laws. So a lot of, I go ahead and vote, and some of those people are just, here's the tax man, what do I owe you?
Oh, you just collect.
Because they know that I'm coming out there to collect them, but they don't understand they've been paying before. And some we get into, they'll pay the first half, some businesses, and the second half slides by before they even know it, and they get a stress warrant, and then they come in right away, bam.
And people sell them to each other.
And and the trailer houses get sold off title a lot of times. And I'm going to work with, I talked to Christy and her staff over there, because I keep track when we come in. If I got one on, say, you and Bob was in the case, we put down a column paid by a new owner, Bob. So we can tell the assessor's office, so they make sure the paperwork is sent, because they're not required. It's suggested as title, but they're not required. You don't sell titles, so they don't. And I got one that's aunt. He actually bought it from his aunt. Yep, I'll pay all the taxes. He hasn't seen our sons. And guess what? Didn't get paid the taxes.
Well, that sounds like a pretty labor-intensive process, but thank you, Randy.
We got them down to where we didn't have to have a sale this year.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
I just need now action from the board to take care of those five, to strike those five, so that I can give the information to the assessor's office and they can strike them. What that means is they're going to go in, and from the date of when we would have had the sale, which would have been the last day of July, 31st, Friday, we'd have the sale, but it was canceled because everything was paid and satisfied up. They would go back from that point and erase all the current taxes and take them off the rolls.
So those five right there at the bottom are the ones?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And the total taxes due on them, like I say, it's $401.59.
Okay, well, I can make a motion to approve your report. Looks like a lot of hard work went into it. And remove the five properties that are listed on the report.
I'll second.
Any questions for Randy on that, on the process? He's done a good job. All right, Janet, Bob. Janet made the motion, seconded by Bob. Should we take roll on that?
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for your hard work. And Sarah's here now. There's Sarah.
You know, I was trying to be smart for going at the end, and I didn't realize I could have went at the end.
Okay.
So I'm just here to request approval of this contract between Dakota County and Community Based Services. They're a new service provider that is going to be providing a new service. It's called Community Youth Coaching. We had included in our original grant application MOUs from our current providers, Owens Educational Services and then Community Monitoring Services. We included MOUs from them, but they were not, neither of those entities were awarded the contract from probation. And so we don't necessarily have to do what probation does. We can use whoever we want as the county, but usually kids, where we're paying, it's only a couple days. So it wouldn't really make sense to say, Owens Educational Services, you do 2 days and then we're going to switch you off to somebody else. So that's why we just need this contract, so we have the option to utilize grant funds for this service and that the county doesn't have to pay out of a different fund.
All right.
So just another provider. Okay. So it's just another provider that
just
you're going to use.
Just another provider, yes.
The cost won't increase the cost of your grant. It'll just be an allocated.
So that's kind of different. This service is a little more expensive than tracking, but that is stuff that really probation sets those rates. It's not going to be any different. We still have the money that we have set aside for this service, and that's not going to change at all.
I'll make a motion to approve the contract with the community-based services for community youth coaching under grant 22CB7507.
Second.
Any other questions for Sarah or on the vendor or grant itself? Okay, should we do roll call?
Thank you.
Robert?
You're welcome.
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank
all right.
you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. We're going to work on that. Item number H, approve the Midwest Alarm Services Basic Agreement for Semi-Annual Fire Alarm Inspection per NFPA 72 Standards. Tim, you want to update us on that? I know you've been kind of looking at that contract, and we've used this service before, but it's a new agreement.
Yeah, there's never been an agreement. And I did have a little contact with Mr. Wells in February, but didn't hear back from him after the board asked if some things could be changed, because right now they've got the county assuming a liability for everything. If the county wanted out of the contract, pay 90% of the payments due under the unexpired entire contract term, plus agreeing to pay liquidated damages. If a lawsuit ever came from it, county would agree to pay Midwest attorney fees, cost of the lawsuit. It's just everything is on the county, and I don't really think that's right. And I did ask him at the time if he would allow the board to make any changes. It's in this contract that you cannot change anything, but I can always ask him again.
When's the end of that term, that contract? When's it end date?
Well, this was just got blanks on it.
It's got blanks.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we should look at an alternative provider if we're concerned about that next time it comes up.
But they've never, I mean, you guys have been paying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the contract is new.
So we're getting the service. It's just a matter of if something goes awry, we're not going to get the protection. But at least we'll be getting the service.
The county under this is responsible for their employees' negligence should something happen. So, yeah. Everything is on the county. I know they're just testing fire alarms, but yikes.
So at this point, I think you suggested not to approve.
I would not sign that.
Okay.
We paid it though, right?
Yeah.
So they have to
yeah.
do it. They're inspecting for
it. I mean, you guys have paid for it.
Okay.
It's $19.44 annually. Paid in advance.
So we don't even need to act on H then, basically, right? Or do we?
Unless there's a motion.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's any motion. So
don't sign a contract, just... But I think the next time we should look at it, maybe a different provider that maybe has a more liability
protection. I don't know what's out there for
mm-hmm.
providers. But.
Kevin? Is he kind of the one who does this?
I think
Kevin?
That's where this initially showed
okay.
up was in his email.
Kevin, okay. So maybe we'll have
February.
Kevin look at alternative vendors, but in the meantime, just we pay for it and they're inspecting them and see what we can do for next year. That be a possibility?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. So, Kevin, does that sound fair? I mean, would that be a fair approach, in your opinion, Kim?
Yeah, definitely. At least not at this point, I wouldn't sign that.
Okay. All right. We're getting the service, but we're not signing the agreement. Look for a new one, huh? Okay. All right. That's all of our miscellaneous and old business at this point, then. Item number 5 is commissioner and committee reports. I guess 3 of us went to a really good seminar last week on, I can't remember what the name of the seminar was, but it was...
Learning something, a lot of legal...
Employment practices, that's what it was. A lot of interesting things. We went through, you know, handbooks and hiring processes and evaluation processes. It was really, really good stuff. And, yeah, yep. Any other committee or...
The health department, we're going to do our interviews next Monday, the 16th. We got 3 candidates, so I'm hoping that the following week, the 23rd, that we'll have somebody or several in mind for that for the board here to make.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, the 16th, we got three. So,
okay.
Lots of progress.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Moving ahead.
Moving along. All right, so that's 16th. The meeting of the 16th, we might then. Okay. Other commissioner committee reports? How about mail and emergency business, item number 6? Do we have anything under that? Nope. No mail or emergency business? So at this point...
I do have one thing I will bring up.
Okay.
I went to the veterans meeting, and I've been to a couple as our representative from the board. And one thing they mentioned was the... So this last year with COVID, a lot of the local veterans groups haven't been able to have their fundraisers, their things like that. So, and I don't know if it would work or not, but you know, with our COVID money that mm-hmm. we're going to get, I mean, it would be a good thing to look at if we could do. I don't know if we can or not, but something for the veterans groups. I know there's one in Jackson. Assuming there's one in Homer, Troy,
Dakota City.
But anyway, mm-hmm. they brought that up at their meeting in South Sioux. So I'm just sharing that with the board.
They've struggled having fundraisers. I know that. I mean, they've had to cut out fish fries and pancakes, all the things they've been doing lately. And I don't know if we've got the final rules yet for our COVID money anyway. But I mean, yeah, we can add that to the list.
So, yeah,
because it's a concern, I'm sure, for them keeping their buildings open.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they, yeah, they've been struggling, I'm sure. Okay, thank you, Bob, for that comment and potential opportunity area. At this point, I'll adjourn the regular Board of Commissioners meeting at 4:22. Yeah, at 4:22. And you need this.
Meeting to order. Already did the Pledge of Allegiance, so roll call.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Larry
here.
Here. Current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in Westwell near the entrance to the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on this agenda if necessary. Number one is a consent agenda, which is A, approval of previous minutes, July 20th and 23rd.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Janet?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes. Number two is going to be new business. A, Albert Mall, representing Pender Community Hospital District, to address the board regarding the tax exempt status for a clinic site in Emerson owned by Pender Community Hospital District and Nebraska Political Subdivision.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
Hi.
My name's Albert Mall. I'm an attorney from Pender. I represent the hospital district. This is Rob Stowe. He is the CEO of the Pender Community Hospital District. So we thought we would come and visit with the Board of Equalization to let you know who we are, how we operate, and see if we could answer any questions that you might have considering who we are, how we operate, who we're owned by, that sort of issue. So I'll just give you maybe a short history of where we are. We're a Nebraska hospital district. We're a political subdivision established within the state of Nebraska. Our headquarters is in Pender, Nebraska, at the hospital. We do have an outreach into several communities. Emerson is one, Bancroft is one. We also have the clinic in Penderson, the pharmacy in Wisner. So it's a bigger organization than just Pender. Within the last several years, we have built a new clinic building in Emerson, in the Dakota County part of Emerson, and that's where we operate the clinic facility as well as a pharmacy.
It's all in the Dakota County part.
It's all in the Dakota County part. Now, our building is right on the county line. One section of our parking lot is in Thurston County, but the buildings and improvements, drive-through, all of that is in Dakota County. Something must have changed at the county level because we were tax exempt in previous years, and so there must have been some discussion at the county level, and so that's what I'm here to hear, what your concerns are, what your thoughts are, and what can I do to explain to you about our ownership and management.
Christy, you want to shed a little light on this here for us?
After we got to checking, when the original hospital district was set up, Dakota County was not in that original agreement when it was established in 19 whatever year it was. So after talking with NACO, they didn't feel that a clinic, which is usually used for profit, would necessarily be tax exempt. So Jeff decided to put it back on the tax roll.
Okay.
And that's where we're at today.
That's where we're at today. Because Dakota County never got any say or any vote of putting a clinic in our county, I guess. It was never on a ballot. And according to NACO, they said it maybe should have been. So I'm just going off what they're telling me.
So do you have any comment on that?
Sure. NACO is very familiar with outlying clinics, and a bunch of the major hospitals, primarily from Sioux City, have clinics in outlying areas. Those are for-profit organizations. They are for-profit entities. That is different than our hospital district. Our hospital district is a political subdivision, very similar to a county, a fire district, or a village. It's a political subdivision of the state of Nebraska. We are authorized to conduct business within and outside of our hospital district. So while we don't mean to shun you, we don't need your permission to put up a facility in Dakota County. We are permitted to run hospitals, nursing homes, clinics, pharmacies, other facilities related to elder care. So that's all within the umbrella of what is permitted under the Nebraska Hospital District Act. Okay. We've had a clinic in Emerson for years, 10, 15 years, but it was owned and operated by the Pender Community Hospital Foundation. I'm very familiar with that foundation. I've been on that foundation since it was started. That is not a hospital district, that's a private foundation. So when we operated as a private foundation, the clinic was leased out to Mercy, which ran the clinic, but that was for-profit. It was not tax-exempt. But when we built the new clinic building, the hospital district built the building, obtained the land through a trade with the village of Emerson, built the clinic and the pharmacy with hospital district funds. There was never a vote of the people because there was no bond issue required to build that building from the hospital district. No bond was required either in the headquarter county of Thurston County or in Dakota County where that particular facility is located.
So did you say, maybe you might have already stated this, but so you have other hospitals?
We have other clinics.
So we're talking a hospital, clinic, whatever, same thing. Okay, so the other ones, are they tax exempt? Are they all exempt? Every one of them?
We have trouble with, I don't want to say trouble with no other county but Dakota County, but Dakota County is the only one that has rejected the real estate tax exemption for our hospital district buildings.
Because it's tax exempt, right? Your entity is tax exempt, nonprofit.
It is a political subdivision, like a fire district or a village.
Okay.
So if the village has a building in your county, you don't charge that village real estate taxes on their building because it's a political subdivision. That's the same classification that our hospital district is.
Would this go to Tarkin?
I'm sorry.
What's that, Christy?
If it would go to Turk, I don't know.
I guess I'm just a fraction. I mean, I get it, what you're saying as far as a clinic. I think we're going to have to do some research on this, I think. I mean, I appreciate you coming in. I think we all appreciate you coming in and explaining this to us because you're concerned that it's on the tax roll now and none of your other ones are, but I guess we're going to have to, we ain't going to be able to make any decisions on this today. We're going to have to research it and figure it out is what we're going to have to do. I mean, and I assume that you respect that and understand that.
And does that shock me? Not in the least.
Right.
I've been a county attorney for over 40 years in Thurston County. I've sat in board meetings like this many times.
Yep.
So I know where you're coming from.
So how does it get to be a political subdivision? Because that seems to be the key
word
piece. Mm-hmm. How does that?
Back in the 50s, a group of residents of the area filed a petition with the Thurston County Board to become a hospital district and then set up boundary lines. And within those boundary lines of the hospital district, they actually collect a real estate tax. So like a village would, or like a fire district would, or a school district would. So it starts out with a petition before the board, and in this case, the Thurston County Board, because that's where the hospital headquarters is.
So Thurston County is funding the building that's in Dakota County? Because they're collecting tax for that district.
That is correct. The Thurston County tax supports all of the entities operated by that hospital district. The biggest part of our facilities are in Pender, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Now Emerson is the next biggest part, but we have outlying clinics in Bancroft, Beamer, and a pharmacy in Wisner.
Why didn't you spin the whole property around where we just could have had the parking lot and this would have been
simple? Oh, you know, I would have loved that. But that was quite a undertaking to try to get that to
I'm
work
sure,
out because
sure.
there were some
well,
old I, buildings that need to be torn down that Emerson okay. owned and we had to stop.
I'm still confused on the nonprofit part of the
okay.
hospital.
Sure. And that's a
how does,
fair
how does
question.
That, how does that?
We are not a nonprofit like a church or charitable organization. We're a political subdivision.
I think what needs to happen.
I'm probably not answering your question very well, but in a way, we're kind of like the village of Emerson. they sell a product as well. They sell utilities. So are they a nonprofit? Well, they're a political subdivision, but they're not nonprofit like an organization you would set up.
Okay, let's do this here, if that's okay, and I don't mean to pry in on you. I think what we need to do is we just need to we'll research it, Mr. Mall, and Rod, is that correct?
Rob.
Yep. Rob, and then we'll let our county attorney do their thing with the assessor's office. Let's get it figured out, and we'll move forward.
I appreciate the fact that you're going to go to your county attorney for help. I've been on the other side of the board a lot of times where the board takes off on their tangent, doesn't talk to the county attorney, doesn't get it researched.
We don't operate like that here. We are not attorneys. They are. They know what they're our legal advice. You get it.
I've been there.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, well, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And enlightening us somewhat.
I like that,
well,
somewhat.
and because this is should be a situation you've not had come up before.
No.
To the best of my knowledge, there's only two hospital districts in the entire state of Nebraska, ours and one other, none in this part of the state. So, you know, it's an unusual, it's a unique creature. But
I can't imagine Dakota County having a unique creature. No. It just surprises me.
I don't know how many times I've heard that expressed for Thurston.
I don't know how many times I've said that.
Oh, you have a unique problem in your county, Mr. Mall.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times.
So, thank you for listening to us.
We appreciate,
that you'll look into it. And if you need more information, we'll be glad to.
We'll do.
Yep.
All right.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming in.
This line is key, isn't it, in here?
It's only $1 million building. What the hell?
It looks like, from what John said, that I guess I don't know. Was
NACO won't give me a straight answer. They tell me one way to go ahead, and they shouldn't be. Then they send you the next email, and it's, well, just give it to them.
Well, he said presumed notice of taxable status was not sent to them on or before March 1st, so they would be exempt.
For this year.
I don't know if notice was or wasn't.
They tried to apply for it. They were going to apply for permissive exemption.
They paid their taxes 1 year, but I don't
think so. And they were going to apply for permissive exemption, and they never did it. And they called like 2 years in a row, and they never submitted it.
Do they have to? Other political subdivisions,
like the Ag Society. Yeah, the Ag Society
is a political subdivision. It files a permissive exemption.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to file this thing.
We told them for 2 years in a row, and they don't do it.
So what would
the
plan of action be? Either way, yes.
I've got the stuff back from there, Johnny.
I said creatures.
And it did start out, it was purchased originally under the foundation's name, and they changed it.
To put it back under the political subdivision?
To put it under Pennington Community, because it was originally purchased under their healthcare foundation, and they changed it.
So it's all publicly owned, no profit.
So I'll do whatever you want me to. It's confusing.
What's the status of it right now?
It's being charged.
It's taxed.
So they're a delinquent? Are they delinquent, or is it?
I don't know.
So did they
But if they didn't get the status thing by March, yeah.
Yeah, he says I presume, but did they get notice of taxable status on or before March 1st?
I'm pretty sure they did.
So were they not? They were exempt before.
They never had anything in the county.
They
so
didn't.
What they're talking they're about, I don't know.
Okay. I thought maybe John's they email. Didn't get a...
Mm-hmm. They weren't Thursday.
Is that a different form, Christy, than receiving a tax statement?
The permissive exempt?
Yeah.
No,
a notice of tax status. They have to have a notice of taxable
status.
They have one sent out to them. Like
something
is that a different form?
It's not a form, I don't think.
No.
I
maybe
mean,
we need
never,
to have a
they
letter.
They never provided
maybe
us a list, though, either. They never sent us a form like the city has to saying, hey, this, this, and this are owned by the city. Nothing was ever provided on their end, either.
Hmm.
Because
then,
the city's supposed to give us, like, a list of what they think is exempt. We never got anything from them. If that's what they're claiming.
But this says we have to notice them, like March 1st, we have to say you are taxable, that you will be
But
taxed.
They're supposed to provide me a list, too.
Oh, are they?
Didn't do
oh.
it kind of like the yeah. city thing.
When
I don't know. I'm so confused on it.
Hmm.
I don't know if they filed anything. Did they file a turn?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen anything.
I'm probably they never protested their vote.
Nope.
Yeah. So it's all very
Let them wait till next year
confusing.
To make a protest and take a turn.
Or we might have to let it go this year, is what John is saying
That's
at this
John
point,
says.
And say, make sure we send that notice next year. Something official, maybe something they have to sign.
Because I think, what was their first year?
What's your assessed value for that
place?
$1 million.
I think it's $1 million.
That's a lot of tax revenue.
I'd be
$20,000.
In my lifetime.
Yeah.
A lot.
They sent a letter in February of 2020 requesting the guidelines on for exemption. Jeff sent it to them. They never sent it back in.
Mm.
Did they think they didn't have to?
Well, they're used to it in Thurston County, so they probably just...
And run that by me one more time, what Jeff's determination was that that made...
That's I'm not exactly sure what his thinking is, but he didn't feel that they were qualified as exempt.
They're outside their district. Outside
and after we got to check in with, like, NACO and John Cannon, he sent me all this stuff. They said technically clinics... Usually aren't there for profit.
They don't
right.
need our profit.
Like a hospital, fine. Like Mercy's
right.
clinic in South Sioux, that is not
political subdivision.
That is taxable. It's not exempt.
Right.
Sioux Lake Community Health is taxable. I mean,
they make money.
But are they a political subdivision?
But they're yeah.
No.
That's the,
yeah,
deal.
That's the
see,
problem.
I don't know what to do.
Is there some kind of documentation that shows they're political? I mean,
oh, we have, yeah.
He said they had this.
Yeah.
It was in.
We have a copy.
Oh,
of
it they
like
have.
Oh, they have that.
Research
them. Okay, we research them.
It made it sound like they had to go to vote the people for a bond.
Yeah.
I thought it was a vote of the people to form.
Even the hospital
the district.
Because the dot here it says, whenever the formation of a local hospital district is desired, a petition stating the name of the district, the location of the hospital be maintained, such proposed district, the territory to be included within it, which territory, da 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 da, the minimum taxable value of all the taxes that
That's
it needed to be voted on.
That's a statute.
Yeah.
It has to be brought forward to the people to be voted on.
Let Dakota County vote on it.
You have to be Dakota County if they're in Dakota County.
Yeah, who's
and
to
now,
say they would?
And now, you know, the people of another county
can vote on
voted
it.
To approve it, and now they say they can operate.
They can just go across state lines.
Not state.
Or county,
well,
not state.
Line.
County lines, excuse me.
So if there's like a village office in Emerson,
what's that statute,
yeah.
Christy?
Let's see. 25-3529
yeah.
through
35-36. I don't know, it's $1 million.
No, I hate saying it. But I don't.
They didn't protest. Let them protest next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure we get them notify
yeah,
them.
They want to get the money back.
March, and then they'll have. Then they can have to protest it
like
in March.
Well,
if you don't, yeah.
I don't know what the tax, what's the taxes?
So are we going to research this a little bit more, talk about it next meeting?
Probably, I would say.
I mean, I think John's already done it.
And I think we have to give notice next year. Make sure they're.
Unless their tax difference.
We didn't tax them, so we. No decision we made for this year, I don't think, is there? Right, there's no taxes were even issued this year.
I think in 20 there was. Because that's what they're paying currently, it'd be 20.
If they got a statement in 20, they're.
And then they didn't protest the one that we. Unless this is what they're saying, we are a political subdivision. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a political subdivision in Thurston County.
In the state of Nebraska.
A Nebraska political subdivision.
That's what John Cannon, I think is what he's saying, that they're.
The courts are generally reluctant to require public entities receiving taxes to have to pay taxes.
But that's interesting, so that they're collecting taxes in Thurston County.
I know.
And they're not, so we're, yeah.
So yeah, we're out, I mean, we're not getting anything off of it.
But I guess it also means that Thurston County is funding that building, right?
True.
But people from Dakota County are funding that building.
Oh, to pay, to for services, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Research.
Research.
This is an interesting one, so maybe we need to talk to who, what Burton, what were those, what's,
Thurston.
No, the counties that, he said they have one in West Point?
Whistler.
Where was the other one?
Beamer and.
Whistler.
Oakland, was it?
Bancroft.
Bancroft, which is.
Pender, Bancroft, Whistler.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to find out what they, how they dug through it.
Whistler.
Whistler.
Beamer, Whistler.
I mean, regular thing.
Yeah, that would be, they probably have already done the research for us, hopefully.
He'd be the attorney to get you out of that DUI, so.
What's that?
He'd be the attorney to get you out of that DUI.
Okay, so, three, mail and or emergency business, is there any? No. Four, public comment, there's no public comment, so we're going to move to five, we're adjournment.
All right.
I want to read you guys something real quick here, once we get off, but take nothing but a second.
Okay.